So we've been running through the book of Jonah, and what I should have titled this is not a kid's story, because Jonah is not a children's story. We've used it as a children's story. We've taught it as a children's story, and it's always so fluffy and beautiful and wonderful, and Jonah gets swallowed by a fish, you know, and we teach it as though this is that Jonah is some sort of a hero in the process. And what I've come to learn as I've dove into this book more and more is this book is rich with content. And there's so much here that we could spend a lot of our life just breaking down all of the nuances of the story of Jonah and why it's even in the Bible. You know, one of the things that I want to say about a lot of people's objection to Scripture is this idea that it's some sort of this myth that was created to somehow control the masses, as it were. But you wouldn't put stories like Jonah in it. Like the story of Jonah, where this prophet denies God and runs from God, and God has to create this storm and this fish, and he vomits him on the sea, and then the prophet doesn't even go in and say, "I just want to tell you how great God is." He goes in and does something completely different. And so I titled this series, "Not on My Watch," because there seems to be this struggle for who's watching over the people of God. And the struggle is not just between Jonah and God, but the struggle is between the fishermen and their gods and God. The struggle is between a lot of people. And so today, I titled the sermon, "Sleeping on Watch." And how many of you know that it's a bad idea if you have the post and you're supposed to be guarding the post that you are not supposed to sleep? Like, that is not okay. Why is that not okay? Because you put everyone at risk, not just yourself. And isn't it good that we serve a God who's on watch while we sleep? Amen? I mean, that's just something I just thought of. Like, isn't it good that when we sleep, we have a God that's watching? And so I want to tell you a couple of sleeping stories today. And it's not intended to put you to sleep. So try and stay with me as we go through this. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And I love this idea that you can flee from God. And we talked about that last week. But now read verse 4. And I don't know why. There you go. Now read verse 4. Will you switch slides for me, Jesse, to verse 4? Sorry, I'm not controlling it for some reason. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the seas, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break apart. Verse 5. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, just go back one. Just stop right here. Notice what's happening. There's this storm that has just ravaged this ship, apparently. This is not a captain who wasn't used to rough seas. Like, this wasn't a guy who for the first time was riding in a ship. Like, this guy was used to this. In fact, one of the things that I thought about showing you was, have you ever seen the movie The Great Storm, where they're in this ship and this storm, there's two storms colliding over this ship and they're trying to keep it alive and they're all frantic? And that has to be what was happening here. Is they're afraid that their ship is going to break apart. This is not something most people can sleep through. But where do we find Jonah? We find him below deck, fast asleep. In fact, the scripture says a deep sleep. And so I want to kind of unpack why Jonah is sleeping, but not yet. When I read this story and I see what happens next, and I really wish I had power. When I see what happens next in verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck and fell into a deep sleep. Verse 6, I don't have power. Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice and we will not perish. I love this, how can you sleep? Because it reminds me of another story very similar to this with a different character involved. Do you remember this story in verse 25? And I'm skipping several slides. And you'll just have to keep up with me if you can. Verse 23, it says, Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Next slide. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping.
Yeah.
So notice the terminology here. A what kind of storm? Again, not just this easy, breezy, hey, everything's okay storm. This is a furious storm, and Jesus is sleeping. I'm just going to suggest to you that Jonah and Jesus are sleeping for very different reasons. But both of them we find sleeping. Look at the next verse. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Next verse. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. So just so you know, that's not what happens in the story of Jonah. Jonah does get up, but there is no rebuking of the waves. And so I kind of want to unpack this whole idea with you, if you'll allow me. But I want you to know that there are lots of reasons why we sleep. And one of them, I want to start on the positive and go to the negative. Sorry about that, but I want to start on one of the positive reasons why we would sleep. And the reason that we would sleep is because we're not afraid of anything. You know, Jesus is down below a deck and he's sleeping. He's sound asleep down there. He's not worried about anything because why? What is he confident in? He's confident in his Father. Nothing's going to happen to him. And it's really interesting because it's this confidence that allows him to sleep so soundly as this wind and these waves ravage this boat that his disciples are in. Can you go to Because We Do Not Fear? And these disciples are just frantic about it. And Jesus is down below deck and he's sleeping. And when he comes up, he says something very interesting. He says, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? What are you so afraid of? And there's an implication behind that because Jesus gets up and he's like, peace, be still. And the waves and the wind all calm down. You know, can you imagine being on that boat? Like, do you think they were afraid the next time something major happened? Just so you know, yes, they were. But Jesus is at rest in the body. And I think one of the things that we see is that when we're not afraid, when we recognize that the sovereign God that we serve has got us, that he's protecting us, that whatever happens, we're in his stead. You know, this Jesus is able to sleep peacefully because he knows who he serves. He knows that the God that he serves is greater than whatever is coming at him. Now, does that mean nothing bad happens? No. In fact, Jesus would be one to tell you, you're going to find trouble in this earth. But Jesus was not afraid of the trouble because he was confident in the God that he served. Number two, this is annoying, just so y'all know. For those of you who listen to it online, that's... Anyway, the second thing we see is because we are prepared. And there's a story that I heard a long time ago about this farmer who went out to hire farmhands. And he interviewed several farmhands, and one of the farmhands came to him and said, so what do you want to say to kind of convince me that I should hire you? And he said, I can sleep when it's stormy outside. And the guy goes, I wonder what that means. So he didn't think much about it, but he thought, that's a good answer. I'm not sure why it's a good answer, but that's a good answer. So he hires this young farmhand, and this young farmhand comes in, and he's a good hand. He's working really hard, but a great storm comes. And the farmer wakes up frantic, and he's beating on the door of his hand, but his hand will not open the door. His hand is asleep. He finally opens the door. He finds his hand asleep, and he's telling him, get up, there's a storm. And the farmhand doesn't get up. So he says, well, I'm going to fire this sorry guy. And he walks out and he runs to the barn to secure the barn, but the barn is already secure. He goes to secure the windows, but the windows are already secure. He goes to check on the animals, but all the animals are already secure. And then he realizes what this farmhand meant when he said, I can sleep through a storm. He can sleep through a storm because he's prepared for the storm. There's another story in Scripture about 10 virgins, the Scripture calls them, who are waiting on the bridegroom. And there are all of them sleep, but five of them sleep totally prepared for the arrival of the bridegroom. And he's completely ready for whatever comes their way. They are prepared for whatever happens. And when the bridegroom shows, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or the next night, they can sleep peacefully because they're prepared. And so I want to ask you, are you prepared? Do you sleep peacefully knowing that you are prepared? We used to sing a song, "Oh, be prepared to meet your God. Oh, be prepared to meet him." Are you prepared? And I've told the story before, but I went to a place in Missouri to a church I'd never been to, and the first thing the worship leader got up and said was, "Jesus." We were singing the song, "Jesus is Coming Soon," which is an awesome song, and the worship leader says, "Man, I hope it's today." And I remember thinking, "Man, I hope it's not today." Like, I am not ready for this. And I remember when I was younger, just before Kendra and I got married, I was unable to sleep. And one of the reasons I was unable to sleep is I had this dream. And I had this dream that Jesus had come back, and I knew I stood condemned before him, and I was confident that I stood condemned before him. And so I couldn't sleep for many days. I didn't sleep well because I knew my life wasn't where it needed to be. I wasn't in connection with the Savior. I was trying to understand how I could rescue myself instead of call out to the Savior that rescues all. And so I didn't sleep well, and I wasn't prepared, and I was afraid, and all of these emotions are filling me. And so I wasn't going to be Jesus in the bottom of the boat. I was the disciples in the boat screaming out for Jesus to get up because I'm terrified. And I remember when I came to realize something, and I want you all to hear this. This is kind of a side note, but I don't sleep today because I know that I'm good. I don't sleep today because I know that I've done everything right. I sleep today because I know my God is good, and he's done everything right, and I have called on his name. And so I sleep peacefully about my judgment because I am doing the things I believe he's called me to do, and I am prepared to meet him. And if somebody says today, "Man, I hope it's today," as every day passes, I become more and more convinced that, "Man, I hope it's today," and I can sleep well for that. The next one. Because we trust. We can sleep at night because we trust. We trust that God is in charge. That, you know, many, in fact, that Jesus says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has a worry of its own." Do you remember that verse? And yet, many of us are kept awake at night because of our worry. How many times in your life do you go and you lay in that bed and the thing that runs through your mind are all of the things you need to handle and you need to take care of and you're responsible for? How many times does all that run through your mind and you realize that you have to worry because you can't do anything else? Y'all know that feeling? Where you're out of options, you've prepared, you've already dealt with the whole fear. The only thing left for you to do is worry. And so you rest, you spend your nights restlessly worrying about what could befall you. You worry about how your bills are going to be paid, or you worry about how your children are doing. You worry about the child who hasn't called in 2 days, or whatever the case may be. And we sit and we worry. And here's the crazy thing. We don't do anything with our worry. Man, if worry were a superpower, we'd be changing worlds. But worry's not the superpower. Do you know what the superpower is? It's trust. Trusting in the Lord God Almighty, so that all those things you could worry about, and I bet I could ask a show of hands, how many of you have ever worried about something and it never came to fruition? Right? All of us have done this. We worry and we fret. We consider and we torment ourselves, and then we find out nothing was there to be worried about. We lose nights and nights of sleep because we're worried. And we just worry and worry and worry. And so, these three things will allow you to sleep if you realize that the God that you serve is your protection. In fact, one man said that if God is for me, who can be against me? Like, I don't have to worry about the enemies that assail me because I have a God that is protecting me. If we're prepared and we've done the things that we need to do and we've not left things undone, then we can sleep because we know that our God is faithful to those who serve him. And finally, we can trust that God will handle whatever's before us that we spend all of our time worrying about. But then there's the nefarious worrying. There's the bad worry. There's the Jonah worry, or the Jonah sleep, no sleep, or the Jonah sleeping. Why do you think Jonah went to sleep? If these are the reasons we can sleep, why do you think Jonah, we find Jonah, who is running away from the Lord, sleeping? And I dare suggest that the next one, the next slide, is the answer. Because he's just trying to avoid something. He's trying to avoid his responsibility. He's trying to avoid what he's been told to do. He's trying to avoid what is before him. He's just trying to sleep it away. This is what happens, by the way. You may not know this, but people who are truly depressed sleep a lot. Do you know why they sleep a lot? Because they're avoiding it. That's the only time they don't have to deal with it. So they sleep. And so Jonah goes to the bottom of the boat and he just goes into a deep sleep because what else is he going to do? Like, these troubles are just going to assail him, and this deep sleep he's in is not a restful sleep. Anybody who's ever been in a depression sleep, you don't wake up relaxed and awake. You wake up exhausted and beat up. And so Jonah is at the bottom of his boat sleeping himself, just trying to avoid what's before him. And I'm going to tell you, this is a physical sleep Jonah's in, but I warn you that there are many of us who are sleeping spiritually. We are sleeping spiritually in that we're avoiding our responsibility. We're like, in our walk with God, we're like the children who promise their parents that if we get a pet, I'll take care of it, but never see the mess the pet leaves. Like, that's us a lot of times. And so we may sleep spiritually, and I'm going to tell you, the scripture calls Satan, he calls him the thief who comes to rob and to steal. Guess when that usually happens? It happens when we sleep. It happens when we're unaware. It happens when we're not on guard. And so we find Jonah in the base of the ship sleeping because he wants to avoid his responsibility. But I dare suggest in every church everywhere there are Christians who are sleeping because they don't want to face their responsibility. Some of us are running. We're actively avoiding what God has for us. And some of us are pretending we can't see it. We're just sleeping. And the next thing, it happens. And the reality is, sometimes we sleep simply because our flesh is weak. We can't stand up against the assault that is on us. And so we sleep. We sleep when our flesh is weak. In fact, there's a scripture that we read this explicitly. And the scripture is, you know, the garden scene. When Jesus takes his disciples and he tells them to stand and take watch. And you remember what he tells them? Pray, because your spirit is willing, but what? Your flesh is weak. What does that even mean? It means that there are times when we need our spirit to be the provisional power to allow our physical bodies to do what God has called us to do. In fact, dare I say, we would be much better equipped to do life if we learned how to operate from the Spirit's power instead of our fleshly abilities. If we allowed ourselves to walk the walk and walk in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit and the abilities that God has given us that are spiritually discerned, that are spiritually given to us, we would worry less. We would fret less. And so what Jesus is telling his disciples is, look, in these times when your flesh is weak, in these times when you don't think you can muster up the strength to do something, understand there is another power you're not even tapping into. There is a spiritual power that exists that is willing. And there's a way to unlock it. And that way to unlock it is through prayer. And so sometimes our flesh is weak. And that manifests itself in so many different ways. Sometimes our flesh is weak and we're unable to do the things that we're supposed to do. Sometimes our flesh is so weak that it prevents us from doing the things that we should do. How many of you have ever decided you're going to become a person of prayer and you just can't seem to find it? How many times have you decided, I'm going to be a person who dives into the Word, or I'm going to be a more pious individual, I'm going to worship more, I'm going to do all these things, you can't find it in you? I'm going to tell you, there is a power in you that is willing and able to do it, and it's called the Spirit that God has given you. That's because sometimes, all the time, our flesh is weak. In fact, Paul says, there's nothing good that dwells in my flesh. And we keep trying to find that thing that's good in us. But the thing that's good in us is the gift that God has given us, and that's the Spirit that we have that dwells with us. And finally, last one. I believe there's one more. I thought I had one more. So are you sleeping when you should be watching? Do you find yourself sleeping when you should be doing other things? And I don't mean physically sleeping, although I talked a lot about physical sleep. And I want you to know that if you're having trouble sleeping, like physical sleep, because your body needs this, and we're discovering more and more and more and more how much we need good sleep, like that's one of the big problems, believe it or not, with obesity. It's one of the big problems with ulcers. It's one of the big problems with a lot of things. So you need your physical sleep. It's very important. But when I say, are you sleeping when you should be watching? I'm not necessarily just talking about physical sleep. I'm talking about a spiritual sleep where we allow the enemy to come in and sow tares among our wheat. In fact, that's what the scripture says, is while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. When we should be watching and we sleep, then Satan has a tendency to just do a little bit of harm. So much so that we don't notice it at first. We don't notice it till it begins to grow and begins to choke out the reality. Next slide, please. I'm going to tell you the way to get out of that. And here's the key. Allow the light of God's truth to expose all the darkness that exists in your life. You see, that's one of the reasons that we sleep, is we're trying to avoid looking at ourselves. We're trying to avoid engaging the truth about ourselves. But here's the beautiful thing, is when we allow the light of Christ to shine into our lives, the light of God's truth to shine into our darkness, and we expose them, you'd be amazed at how quickly He dispels all the lies about them. I love what Paul says when he prays to God three times that He'll remove this thorn in his flesh. What God says to him is, in your weakness, I am strong. Jesus says in John 3 that the darkness hates the light, but that we should expose them because light disperses all darkness. And believe it or not, there's a reason that spiritual apathy is often referred to as spiritual sleeping. It's because when you close your eyes, it all goes dark. When you close your eyes spiritually, it all goes dark. But when you allow the light of God's truth to shine in your life, it all goes bright. And I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff you don't really want God to see. God already sees it. In fact, I love this passage. It says, while we were still sinners, while the darkness was still invading our lives, Christ died for us. He didn't die because you're good. He died because He's good. And His desire is to release you from all that darkness that is actually preventing you from sleeping and also causing you to sleep at the same time. I know that sounds confusing, but it's really not if you think about it. So let us be a people who know how to sleep and know how to be watchful. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You so much that we have stories like Jonah where we see him in the base of the ship sleeping and we see You waking him up. And I pray, Father, that You'll wake us up. That You'll wake us up from the slumber that we have and how we tend to avoid what You have intended for us by our sleeping. I just pray, Father, that You will help us to realize just what an awesome and amazing God You are, and that we can allow Your light to shine into our darkest of places. Father, help us to wake when we should be watching, and help us to sleep when we are without faith. Father, we praise You and love You in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and worship.